Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I pray, Lord, for this study. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 19 through 25. Amen. And so we're going to prepare our screen. Oh, by the way, before we get into our study, I forgot about this little clip. This movie's next week. Many of us are going. Let's look at the previews real quick.
Ever since 2020, the world has irrevocably changed. With every month passing, seeming to get stranger and stranger. It's scary to think what the future holds as we march forward together. Facing a certain inevitability, a prophetic time that can only be described as biblical.
It was an ancient world.
The fall of man.
That's why God sent the flood.
It was a judgment that happened.
It changed the world profoundly.
There is yet a future judgment coming.
It'll be just as it was in the days of Noah. In the last days, the end times.
They will be surprised when Jesus comes. So, I've entitled this evening's message, Propitiation by His Blood Through Faith. What does that word mean up there? Propitiation. That means forgiveness. Forgiveness. Or instead of. Meaning there had to be something to come and take away our sin. So, He's the propitiation of our sins. And so, it's a big word, but yet, it's right there in your Bibles. If you have the King James Version or the New King James, it should say propitiation. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, we're going to see that, and we're going to discuss this tonight. So, let's read verses 19 through 25, and we'll allow the Holy Spirit to have His way with us tonight.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And so, here we go. Let's read. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Let me pause right there. This is Paul, the apostle, addressing to the Jews at this time in Rome, because many of them mocked the things of God many of the Jews back then were under the Mosaic law. They were under the law of Moses. And Jesus was there, right there in their sights. They could actually touch him. And many of them didn't believe that that was the Messiah, the Christ. So when Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out, right? So when the Holy Ghost was poured out, that was the ecclesia of the church, meaning the birth of the church. So if you want to know when the real original church started, it started in the book of Acts, chapter 2. From that point on, many hundreds of years later, man got involved and distorted it. Started off all kinds of different religions. We try here at Amazing Grace to stay true to the book of Acts. Why? Because one of the things why God allows, I was sharing this with my brother the other day. He goes, I saw that you guys baptized again a couple more folks. I said, let me tell you why God does this. It's not that there's anything special. Is we truly acknowledge the Word of God. And when God says, repent and be baptized, this is what we hold on to. This is why God has entrusted us to allow souls to come here, because we believe God's word. This is something that's been basically instilled in us for many years. And so you don't see a name on our building. You don't see a cross or a steeple. But yet God still brings souls. Why? Because we honor the word. Yes. When you honor God and you honor his word, he will bless you beyond comprehension. Yes. Yes. And so right here, Paul was having a discussion with a lot of the Jews back then, and many of them were, according to even Jesus, a lot of them were stiff-necked. What do you mean? They weren't moving. No, we're under the law of Moses. And yet, Jesus came and gave a better way now. Now you don't have to bring a bull or a goat or a pigeon or a turtle dove. Right? Now, by faith, you cry out to Jesus. And with the heart repenting, then here comes the blood. And then after the blood, here comes the Holy Ghost to live inside. It was very simple. And so let's go to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Did you catch that? This is not for the unbeliever. This is to all who what? That believe. You see, God has given us his grace. When he touched our life, he gave us the mind to be saved. He gave us the heart to repent. It is God that gave us the faith to believe. The Bible says he gives men and women a measure of faith. So he gave us the faith to believe. There's still people that won't believe this. Look at our nation. You prayed for our nation. It's split in two. But I look at it like this. There's still sin in both camps. There's still sin in both camps. But the reason why our nation is divided is because, I'll tell you why it's divided. Because the pulpits of America are no longer preaching truth. Yes. Yes. They have taken a back seat to the culture. Yes. And when you cannot preach truth, guess what? You will allow the culture to come in and take root, and you're going to see a whole bunch of madness, and the church will become no more than a social gathering. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'd rather stand before God and give an account to him to tell you the truth. Can I get amen? Amen. Even in times that are perilous. We are living in perilous times. How many believe we are living in perilous times? Amen. Would you have ever thought that we would see mass shootings almost every other day? Mm-hmm.
They weren't even heard of when we were kids. Come on, I grew up in the Father Knows Best days. Leave it to Beaver. My three sons. And for some of you, it just went right over your head. Now there's shows like Two Men in a Tub. You know, ungodly stuff. You can't even watch things in the evening no more. Why? Every other commercial is a drug for homosexuals to keep living. And they show them making out. You haven't seen that yet? It's there. That would have been the talk of the town back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s if something like that were to come on the air. They would have, man, I'm telling you, they would have got sued. They would have got thrown out of the industry. But now, it's accepted. That's because there's so much evil now poured out on this world, especially our nation. You know, we are, I'm going to go as far as this, because our sister prayed for our nation tonight, and we do need to pray for our nation. Can I get an amen? Amen. But I believe what Rick Pearson, he has a book, and I'm going to order a couple of books and just pass them out. But judgment is coming in 1 hour. And he believes that we are the latter Babylon. And we need to pray. I'll tell you why we need to pray. How many love this country? Come on, I love this country. When my dad came from the Philippines, he came the correct way. He joined the Navy over there and became an American citizen, and then he migrated over here with the Navy. He met my mom in Corpus Christi, Texas. And so, you know, we were all, 11 of us, born here in these United States. And I love this nation. I know you guys love this nation. But right now, it's standing in the midst of judgment. Go back and do a history search on all the nations and kingdoms that rose up. What was their demise? What caused them to collapse? Why did the Roman Empire collapse? Why did all these nations that rose up collapse? Because they became corrupt from within. They became immoral. And once they collapsed within, then God would raise up enemies to come and destroy them. Saints of God, when God calls certain sins an abomination, it's not that we're picking on people that are involved in that. No, we expose that so that people will hear and have an opportunity to run to the cross and get saved. Because only Jesus can save. I hope you know that. Yeah. Only Jesus can save. But I truly believe time is running short. Time is running short. And if you're looking for someone in the political world to be the Savior, think again. We need Jesus. We need a true awakening, a true revival, that God's Spirit, hallelujah, would just be like a fire raging. Are we going to get that revival? It all depends. How many pulpits are crying out? How many churches are fasting and praying? Do we really want to change? Or are we like that frog that's in the pot of water? If you put a live frog in a pot of water, regular tap water, and then put him on the stove in the pot, and start turning on the fire, that thing won't know it's getting hot. And eventually, it'll die in the water. It'll be a slow death. But if you take that same frog and you put him in boiling water that's already boiling, he'll bounce right out. Well, this nation is like that frog
that's in the tap water, and we're allowing the culture to cook us from the inside out. We need to pray.
Yes.
We need to pray.
Yes.
How many believe we need to pray?
Oh, fast and pray.
Because yes. Times mm-hmm. are wicked now.
Yes.
They're not like the days of old.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that nothing is too hard for God, and God can mm-hmm. God can change things in a heartbeat.
Yes.
But you got to remember, and then we'll get back. You got to remember, in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Jeremiah, Amos, Micah, they all pointed to when Jesus returns the second time, the world will be in chaos. It's not going to be peaceful. It's going to be in chaos. And then Jesus will come. So when we see these things that are taking place right now, things that we mentioned, I just mentioned a few things. We may think, oh my gosh, everything's falling apart. No, everything's falling into place. Because Jesus already told us, because they asked him on the Mount of Olives, when will your coming come again? What are the signs? He told them wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences. We just had a major pestilence. You ever thought the whole world would go into shutdown? Never in the history of our world has the world went into a shutdown where everyone was shut down around the world. That's a pestilence. And they're not going to stop sending them out. I keep forgetting to put this video from, I believe it's from Saudi Arabia, but it's in English. It's a newscast. It's like NBC News, ABC News, CNN News, Fox News, okay? But it's from over there. And they said that China is already making a new virus, but this virus, you will not survive. As soon as you get the virus, you're dead within days. And they're already making it. Jesus said there would be pestilences. So we need to be praying. This is not to scare you. This is to say, you know what? For those who are watching right now, get your heart ready. This is not now. Stop playing games. Be real to God now. Be true to God. You know what? And you know what God has done? He has saved so many people in these last several months because he's scooping them in to take us all home. The first will be last and the last shall be first. And God is saving left and right now. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed that we're in? Praise God. Praise God. So look at this. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe. For there is no difference, for we all have sinned. Look at this. And fall short of the glory of God. He was talking to these Jews. You sin too. You need the Messiah too. And even today, Israel still needs the Messiah. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I shared this. The 95% of the Jews in Israel, they're all secular. Only a handful are religious, and only very few are born again. You can't even preach the gospel over there. They'll arrest you. Oh, yeah. And Tel Aviv, their homosexual community is larger than San Francisco. Because they have mirrored us. So God is going to do something radical over there so that they would turn to the Messiah. And right now he's put a fish hook in their mouth and he's bringing them all right now from all over the world. They're all flooding into Israel.
Yes. Yes.
And why is he having them all there? Because when he comes back, he wants them all to see the nail-pierced hands. It was me. Wow. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth, there's the word, a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. How many are so blessed to know that? That when God saved us, he remembers our sin no more. He don't remember your past. He says, I have cast your sins from the east to the west. Everything that we've ever done and committed. And here's the good news. Past, present, and even future. It doesn't give us a license to sin, but lets us know that now he's in control. He's our Father. We're his child. He has adopted us. And when he adopted us, we became his. You know, there's still denominations. Well, you could lose your salvation. Show me where he aborts children. Show me in the word where he aborts his children. The devil aborts. God comes to save us. Listen, he knew we were frail and wicked before we gave our hearts. And then it's great pleasure in him to change us from the inside out. And now we can cry out, Abba, Father. So when we cry out, Abba, Father, we are filled with the Spirit of God. We are his forevermore. I know some have taught you, oh, well, you know what, you could still sin and be lost. Well, argue that with God. Go to the Word. What does the Word say? All that the Father gives me, I won't lose one. In Ephesians, we are sealed until the day of redemption. No one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. Listen, if he drew us from muck and mire, guess where he placed us? We are now seated in heavenly places. Can I get an amen? We're seated with him. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yet, there's still Christians that beat their head up. You don't get past that. Until we get delivered from this body of flesh, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to say things sometimes we shouldn't have said. We're going to think of lust and stuff that we shouldn't. So what's the combat to that? How do you combat that? Fill your mind with God.
Yes.
Fill your mind with the Word. Hallelujah. Think on things that God says to think on. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. Cleanse your mind and allow God to cleanse it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And so, let's go to verse 19. Look at this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be what? Become guilty before God. You see, saints, the verses above quoted from the scripture condemn all people, but especially those under the law and those who are what? Our Jewish friends. Amen? Look what 1 Peter wrote right here. In 2:22, who committed no sin, talking about Jesus, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And when he was reviled and did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself, what? To him who judges, what?
Righteously.
Paul was trying to let them know, wait a minute. There's one that was righteous, not self-righteous. Look at verse 24. Who himself bore. Look at, he was trying to get this across. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That we, look at this, that we, having died to sins, might live for what? righteousness. Now that we're born again, we can live toward righteousness. You know, you ever heard that saying, whom the Son sets free is free indeed? What are we free from? The bondage of sin. Before you got saved, we didn't have a mouth to praise Him. We didn't have a mouth to serve Him or a mind to serve Him. But when you got saved, He destroyed the chains. Now we can lift up our hands and say, Abba, Father, we love You. He has freed us where we were bound up in our unregenerated state of mind. Come on, all we had was cursing, doing drugs, doing evil, doing wickedness, doing the things of the world until He saved us. And so the Jews at this time, Paul had a problem with them. Why? Because they were self-righteous. They may not have sinned like we did, like us Gentiles, but they were still sinning by being self-righteous. They thought they had it going on. We got the law of Moses. No. You're slipping right into darkness. Remember that song? Slipping into darkness? They're slipping into darkness. Look at this. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for what? Righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is what you have to really cement in your mind. That we have Jesus now to go to. Yes, we go through aches and pains, shortcomings, our relationships sometimes fail. Sometimes we don't get the things that we're praying for. But guess what? He's the overseer of our souls. He allows things to happen in our life to teach us valuable lessons. And one of the lessons is, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Because Satan wants you to quit. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to wake up one day and think, you know what? I don't want this no more. You got to remember, if you're starting to think that, that's not the thoughts of God. They're from the enemy. And so those who read the verses above, they were silenced when Paul was addressing it. There are no more excuses to be made. No more self-defenses uttered. There's no excuse no more, right? Once we got the truth, there's no more excuse. No one has any excuses. Everyone is liable for judgment now. We all know the truth now. And if the Jews, God's special chosen people, can say nothing in their own behalf, then no one can. And guess what? Until they repent, they're not going anywhere. I used to have this debate with Rabbi at Temple Beth Shalom. I still think this day he's a closet Christian. I really do. But look what King David wrote up here. Look at this. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. And so Paul was telling these people at Rome, listen, take heed. Because a lot of them were blaspheming the name of God. A lot of them persecuted Paul. A lot of them beat him, robbed him, threw him out of a second story building. But guess what? God remembers everything that was done to one of us, to one of them. Do you know that God is the avenger? This is why God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Meaning, if you felt like you were wronged, give it to God.
That's right.
Don't take out vengeance with your own strength.
Yep.
We're but nothing. Mm-hmm. My goodness. You see, that type of the accountability of guilt must be answered, even though every explanation and excuse had failed. They had to come to a place of repentance. And they struggled in it. This is why, listen, how many times when people would witness to you, would you shoo them off? You ever had someone witness to you about the Christ and you would just shoo them away, get away. I'd always use the Catholic card. I'm a Catholic, get away. Almost like a like you put a cross to a vampire.
Yeah.
I'm a Catholic, get away. And I don't go to, throughout my whole time, before I got saved, I never went to church. That was just an excuse. We find excuses. Well, the Jews found all kinds of excuses. But their main thing was, we have the law of Moses. That's all we need. Wrong? You see, King David wrote this right up there to let us know that these people, God's going to stop their mouth. So listen, that's why don't take no vengeance on no one. Don't say nothing negative about nobody. Just pray for them. Oh, God, help them, God. Don't start thinking anything negative toward anyone. Let it go. Let it go. Let's go to verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of what? Sin. We got the knowledge through the law. You know why? Because the law pointed out our discrepancies. The law showed us our shortcomings. Remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not what? Steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not what? All the ten are there. And guess what? There was a total of 613 laws. And the Bible says if you break one of them, you've broken all of them. You've broken them all. Wow. Wow. Look what Luke wrote in the book of Acts. By the way, Luke, the doctor, Dr. Luke, he wrote the book of Acts. And so look at this. He wrote this in Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Who is that? That's right. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. He's the propitiation. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things which you call what? Which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, they had a problem. And listen, Jesus didn't come to change the law or to get rid of the law. The law's still intact. I hope you know that. Jesus came to fulfill it. And one of the things he brought was mercy and grace. How many love is mercy and grace? See, salvation back then was just for the Jew. We were considered dogs. Us Gentiles, we were considered dogs. And yet, by God's grace, he turned to the Gentiles, which is you and I, and saved us. You know, that was God's plan all along. Aren't you so blessed he had you in mind?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you so blessed before God spoke the whole universe into existence, when it was just God in his realm, in the third heaven, when he spoke the whole universe into existence, guess what? He had you already in mind. He already knew your name. I'm going to create them, and they're going to learn to know me. How many souls? For me, it came later. I got saved at the age of 30. And so all those other years, I was a rebel without a cause. And some of you were really, just really good moral people, right? And so, saints, with this all-inclusive statement, Paul closes his opening arguments that describe the state of human lostness. They're lost. We're lost. The purpose of the law is not to bring salvation, but to make us aware of sin. And the only way people, listen to me. The only way people can be made right in God's sight is for God to declare them so. You can't just say, oh yeah, I gave my heart this morning, I'm saved. Really? So you made up your mind to get saved. No, God drew you. God quickened you. God made you come alive. Because before we came to Him, we were dead in our sin. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We just read several weeks ago that there's none who seeks after God. No, not one. There's none that seeks after Him. I didn't seek after Him, did you? And then one day God quickened you and drew you right to the cross. Wow. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, no one can do it by trying to do what God's law commands, meaning keeping certain traditions such as circumcision in order to be identified as a Jew and so remain under God's covenant promises. Aren't you so blessed, especially us men? We don't have to prove to God this is what we have to do. Just imagine every man that got saved, whether it's a teenager, a young child, or someone that's in their 60s. That would be an ouch moment. Look at this. Look what James wrote. Whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is what? Guilty of all. As I shared earlier. You break one, you broke them all. Man, it's just the way it is. Amen? So these traditions have to do with identifying with God's people and maintaining one relationship within that people. Again, saints of God, Paul drives the point home. Being a knowledgeable, faithful, and law-keeping Jew doesn't make a person righteous. It don't. The law was not meant to become something the Jews boasted about. Rather, it was given to eliminate anyone's boasting and to make all people aware of sin and their constant need for God's grace. We need His grace every day. I need His grace to wake up in the morning for another day. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Some of us wake up knowing that that day is going to be another day of challenge. We're going to need His strength. We're going to need His mercy, His grace, His love. Thank you, God. And the law only makes it painfully clear that there's people who are not obeying it. So let's go to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. Saints, the words "but now" present an important shift in the subject matter. Whereas the law was God's righteous standard, the righteousness required to live up to it was not within man's capacity. No one can live up to God's law with their own strength. This is why we need to learn to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because those two laws hinge all the laws in the Old Testament. Look what Isaiah wrote up here in Isaiah 46:13. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. This is a prophetic word that Isaiah gave. God gave him this vision that God's going to make all things beautiful in His time. And all of Israel is going to be saved. And guess what? One by one, we're all coming to Him. I came 30 years ago. Some of you came weeks ago. But we're all coming. God said, get on the ship. Get on the boat. Get on the train. Get on this vessel. Because I'm about ready to take you home. Are we so blessed to have that relationship with God now? Huh? Aren't we so blessed? Let's move on to verse 22. even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe. For there is no difference. Once again, that's the key. Who believe. And in the King James, not New King James, is believeth. You know how they have the old language, the thou, the thee, and thy knowest, thy doest, and then it says thy believeth.
Yeah.
Reason why some people love the King James is because that word believe sometimes can be misconstrued. Because what believeth, if you break that down in the Greek, it's ongoing believing. Meaning, it's a belief in us now that never stops. In other words, we continue 24/7 to believe on the Lord. Believeth. Mm-hmm. Believe it unto God.
Yes.
So we're now constantly believing Him, where at one time we didn't believe in nothing. We were just waiting for a party to take place. Getting ready to do the sins we love to engage ourselves, indulge in. But now everything's changed, huh? God's making things beautiful in His time with your life. Did you know that you're precious to God?
Yes.
Did you know that God loves you?
Yes.
Did you know that He has a hope and a plan for you?
Yes.
Did you know that He saved you?
Yes.
Not to discard you, but He saved you to show you His glory and how much He's going to continue to love you despite of what you're going through right now.
Yes.
Some of us are going through some horrendous stuff. Physically, I'm going through. I didn't think when I was in my 20s and 30s that I'd be struggling with neuropathy in my 60s. And a couple days ago, my kidney doctor said, you need to be hospitalized right now. And what he told me, though, was kind of somewhat true, because when your feet and ankles get swollen, that's water that your kidneys is not, it's not, you can't excrete it out because your kidneys are failing. So those who have swollen feet that have diabetes and ankles and your rings don't fit hardly anymore, everything is, there's so much water in you, it cannot be now out. It can't be released. And so he says, you have a choice. He goes, I'll call 911 right now and drain all that water that's in you, or follow my instructions. He gave me these water pills. He goes, drink very little water and take these pills. He goes, and in 2 weeks, you will have getting rid of at least 27 pounds of water.
Oh my God.
This is why I'm always saying, God, I need the new body now. This one's failing me. And I failed it. You know, it boils down to, we did it to ourselves. Because when I was a kid, all I did was love ice cream and pizza. And quesadillas. As a kid. Grew up eating that all the way through my adulthood. If you were to tell me, yeah, you need to eat like a vegan, I would have said, there's the door. Don't come back. But I'm here today because of God's grace. And the last 2 days, I'm feeling a little lighter because I'm following His instruction. So God is good. God is good. Amen. God is good. And so right up here, for there is no difference. It's all about believing God and what He can do for us, what He's done for us, and what He's about to do for us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so let's move on to verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, every human being that comes into this world is sinful. The Bible says we're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. There is no righteous person on this earth before Jesus and after Jesus. No one. There's only one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. And so Paul has made it clear thus far in his letter that there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles when it comes to final judgment, for all have sinned. All have sinned. My, my, my. Saints of God, if the law measures the distance between God and His creatures, then human righteousness is our attempt to bridge that distance by our own efforts. We just saw a clip of a movie coming. And remember before it said the cross? It said the tower?
Yeah.
What was that tower? God. Men were trying to reach God on their own strength. Oh, we need to build a high place to go meet them up there. Yeah, right. Then he sent down what? He sent down a judgment on them. And then that's where all the languages in the world developed right there. They all went their way and they couldn't understand each other. So, you know, I know there's a lot of companies now that where you can trace your DNA back to your heritage, but I don't think they go as far as back as the Tower of Babel, because we came from one of them. All of us came from one of them. Wow. Oh, yeah. But praise God. Praise God, because when we all get to heaven, we're all going to have that one language. Hallelujah. He's going to give us a new mind, a new heart, a new body. Hallelujah. There will be no confusion, no chaos, no doom and gloom, no poverty, no sickness. He's going to wipe away every tear. How many can't wait for that moment? Oh, come on, it's coming. That moment's coming, saints. Hallelujah. And so, Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's go to verse 24. Being justified, what? Freely by His grace through the redemption that is in what? Christ Jesus. And so, saints, just as there is no distinction in our fallenness, Paul writes, so there is no distinction in the source of our justification. Did you know that God has justified us? So I need you to catch this for a moment. When we first get saved, the first thing that He starts processing in our life is sanctification. First thing. And what is sanctification? That means He's setting us apart to do His will now. He has set us apart from the things of the world so that we would hear Him, hear His voice, love His word, and then learn how to obey it. Are we going to get it overnight? No. But we learn. And by you coming to Bible study, your faith is growing. You're growing. You're not the same like you were a month ago, 2 months ago, or a year ago. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to hear the preached Word of God. We need to be taught God's Word. Amen?
Amen.
That's why God raises up churches all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the size of the church. It's the size of the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
His love toward us. His heart is so huge that He engulfs us through His love. It's the heart of God that He establishes churches all over the place. that truly love Him, that will preach you the truth. Praise God. You see, God justifies us. He declares us not guilty of our sins. So, sanctification is setting us apart. But the moment of salvation takes place, justification sets in. You know what that means? Just as if we've never sinned. His blood, once His blood washes us, guess what? You heard me say earlier, He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers them no more.
Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you,
Jesus. Right now, in our human body, we can't do that. I still remember. I remember what you used to do. That's why it's hard. It's hard for some family members to come to Christ. You know why? Because they know. They remember our tainted past. Yeah, you were one of them now. I used to know what you used to do because we used to do it together. Oh, yeah. That's why Jesus, when He went back to Nazareth, there was the least amount of miracles in Nazareth. Why? Because that was His hometown. And they were saying, we know who you are. You're the carpenter's son. So there was very little faith. Very little faith. And that's what in the Gospels it says, the least amount of miracles was in Nazareth. And where was the most miracles taking place? Come on. Here's a trivia question. Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's by the Sea of Galilee. It's close to the city of Tiberias. Capernaum. When you go on an Israel tour, that's one of the places they take you, to Capernaum. And that's where the most miracles took place. Right there. Why? Because they didn't know who He was, yet they were believing the signs and the miracles that He was doing. He was raising the dead. He was touching blind eyes to see. He was touching the mute to speak. The cripple to walk. Come on, He was raising the dead. But yet in Nazareth, whoa, wait, we know who you are. And this is where you have to rebuke the devil. Because the devil will come to you at night and say, well, I know who you are. Who do you think you are? You got to bind the devil and say, you a liar. I'm a child of the Most High God.
That's right.
I am sealed, sanctified, hallelujah, delivered by God. He is now my papa. He's now my Abba Father. And now I cry out to Him. You got to learn how to rebuke the devil now. Can't play with Him no more. Hallelujah. We have a new dance partner. We're in a new camp now, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we used to dance with the devil, but now we're dancing with God. Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost dance.
That's right. Holy Ghost dance. Come on. Thank you, Lord. We serve a mighty God. Come on, give God a shout right now. Thank you, God. So we get to the verse that gave us our topic in verse 25. Look at this. In Romans 3:25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, a substitute through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Man, aren't you so blessed when you came to Him by faith? He didn't say, but wait a minute. Don't you remember that? Well, wait a minute. Before I forgive you, don't you remember that? He passed over them. He already knew. Listen, He already knew what He was getting a hold of when He saved us. Come on. That's right. We all know we were no good. We all know we fell short. Some of us had the worst potty mouths in the world. Some of us were in and out of bedrooms.
Some of us were gangbangers. Some of us were self-righteous. Oh, I would never do that. But you didn't know who God was. Some of you were goody good two shoes. Yet God didn't hold that against us. We came to Him by faith. And God saved us by His grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so when you read that in context, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, that's faith, believing, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over this. Forbearance meaning His knowledge of us, His knowledge of you, His knowledge of your past, present, and future. That's what forbearance means. He knew us. We weren't strangers. He knew us before He spoke everything into existence. He already knew your name. He already knew your face. He already created your soul to be placed into a body of flesh. My. We weren't strangers. We just didn't come into the world. He placed us here. And He knew when it was time to set us free so that we can now be a witness and to testify about His goodness. He allowed us to go through dark times in our life. He allowed us to experience unregeneration so that when He generates us, that we would glorify Him and magnify Him and praise Him and give Him all the glory and continue to let people know, look what God has done for me and what He can do for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But it had to be by His blood. It says right here, by His blood through faith. Why is blood mentioned? You see, saints, in describing how God provided us with undeserved righteousness, Paul alludes to the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, it was a temporary covering. Who can remember the first animal to die in the Old Testament? What was the first animal to die? And who was the first one that was covered? Yeah. Adam and Eve. They sinned. And so they ran from God, right? And so God had to kill an animal and cover them. Go back there and read it. So God had to, what? That was the first shedding of blood. That He had to kill an animal to cover their sin temporarily. So the Old Testament was a shadow and a type to come. It was pointing to Jesus, that once and for all, that God was going to eliminate that Old Testament ritual of bringing a turtle dove, a bull, a bullock, and that Jesus would come and be the final sacrifice. And it wouldn't be a bloody altar. He would allow us to come to Him by faith. Woo, man! Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. You see, in Leviticus, right up here, look at this. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So in the Old Testament, the blood was a temporary covering. God needed the blood to cover you temporarily until the day would come and Jesus would be the sacrificial lamb. Did you know that at 9:00 in the morning when they were binding Yeshua to the cross, right across the Kidron Valley, right there on the Temple Mount, they were binding the morning lamb at the same time. And the songs that were sung
King David wrote them already. So God already wrote the songs for the death of his son. God already knew the day his son was going to die for the sins of the world. And so God prepared everything. And it happened on the Feast of Passover. So now, the Jews who celebrate Passover, they remember when they would put the doors on the lintel and on the side post, right? And then the death angel would what? Pass over them, right? So Jesus now is our Passover lamb. Hallelujah. Now the death angel passes over us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has saved us
yeah.
by the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, he saved us by the blood. And now we can cry out, Abba, Father, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God sent Jesus to take that final punishment for our sins. Did you know in the Gospels, the Bible says that his father had to turn away from his son. Because all the sins of the earth were being nailed to him. Now, you got to be clear on something here. They were placed upon him as a sacrifice through his blood. But Jesus, not once, ever became a sinner. He was sinless. So he took on the sins of the world as a sacrifice, and then his blood that was shed was our atonement. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So I have this question right up here. Why did the punishment require shed blood? God had said from the beginning, for the life of the creature is in the blood. And so, we just read that. We'll read it again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I give it, what? I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do when he died and he gave up his ghost? What did he do? Because something happened on the Temple Mount, and what was ripped from the bottom to the top?
Yes.
The veil, right?
Yes.
So Jesus went into the Holy of Holies, and he put his blood on the mercy seat. Ha! Hey! It was his blood on the mercy seat. They called it the mercy seat. Why? Because he had mercy on us. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We will always be ever grateful that he included us in this great salvation. This is why, no matter how tough your road is right now, he's had mercy on us. We're going to see him again.
Yes.
Hang tight. Hang tough.
Yes.
Don't throw in the towel. Stay with him. Stay close to him.
Yes.
He will watch over us. He will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. I don't care what the economy's doing. I don't care what the culture's doing.
That's right.
God, hallelujah, will keep us separate from all that.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He'll watch over us like a mother hen watches over her chicks. Every one of us is special to God.
Yes.
Every one of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And the blood that Paul mentions here is a particular blood, though. It is Christ's blood. It is the Christ of blood. It's no longer from a bull. It's no longer from a pigeon. It's no longer from a goat. Because I found some scriptures. Look at this. In Romans 5:9. Much more than having now been what?
Justified
by who? By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let me just say this. Once we gave our heart and he washed us in the blood, he has spared us from the wrath of God. Because God's going to pour out his wrath on this unbelieving world. But he spared us from the wrath through him. Man, that should bring... Listen, I don't care. You'll never hit the lotto, okay? But this is way beyond that. This is something that goes on to eternity. My goodness, this should bring great joy in your heart that we don't have to experience the wrath of God no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look what Hebrews, Paul wrote this in Hebrews. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered it. And look at this. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying what? Of the flesh. Look at this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, so cleanse your conscience from dead works and serve the living God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Serve the living God. Look at what he's done for us.
Hallelujah.
Don't matter what we're going through. All the aches and pains and all the, whoa, woe is me. And oh, look what he's done. He's done so much for us. And I can't wait when he unveils it to us. And we will be changed and we will be like him. You know, that's sooner than later. I hope you know that. Look what the Apostle John wrote in the book of John here. Look at this. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So at first they thought that, are you talking about cannibalism?
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my what? For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.
Amen.
Look at the verse 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will what? Live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in where?
Capernaum.
When Jesus came from the wilderness, when he was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights after he got baptized, did you know that he was showing us being baptized, being filled with the Spirit, and then going into the wilderness? The first thing he met was old Slewfoot. Be careful, because when you first get saved,
right there,
Satan will bring you some false teachers and false messengers, and all kinds of weird stuff starts happening, and it's not of God. It's not of God. And old Slewfoot, he was right there. But yet, Jesus came in from the wilderness, not being tempted at all, came into the synagogue and preached his sermon. Praise God. And from that moment on, his ministry started. Praise God. But look at this right here. I found in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the what?
The,
say that again.
The
one more time. The blood of Jesus Christ, his own son, cleanses us from all sin.
Some? No.
All
sin.
So you got to incorporate that in your believeth. Not only do I believe that Jesus died for me, but I have to believe his blood is what cleanses me from all sin. Can I get amen?
Amen.
There's people that live it out. That's why when I do the sinner's prayer, you hear me say the sinner's prayer?
Mm-hmm.
The blood that was shed on the cross?
Yes.
I have to incorporate that. Why? Because it's the blood. Having faith in Christ and the blood that cleanses us. There's some people that won't talk about the blood. It's the blood. Look at what's on the back of the girls that went up to testify on Monday. This is on the back of their shirt. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love what? Love their lives to death. Praise God. Saints, the only sacrificial death of Christ on the cross was the effective atonement for our sins. How many are so blessed to know that our sins have been forgiven?
Thank you.
How many are so blessed to know
Thank you. That
when we leave this place tonight, when we go home and we put our head on the pillow, we have the confidence knowing that whenever God says, come up, we know that our sins have been forgiven? Aren't you so blessed? How many know who Jack Hibbs is? He's got a huge church up in, I think it's in Riverside. He was one. Well, Jack Hibbs, you ought to Google him. But he's getting a lot of flack. Because he does stand with Israel. But he's getting a lot of flack from the Armenian group. What are the Armenian group? These are the folks that believe that you can fall out of fellowship, you can walk away from God, and then drop into hell. Wait a minute. If you're truly born again, I'm talking about those born again believers, God will always put in you a conviction for him. An ongoing love. It's been 34 years, and I still have that ongoing love for him. Even through my mistakes, even through my shortcomings, even though some days I wasn't obedient. But that ongoing love to follow him, to love him, to hold on to him, has never diminished. It's never been taken away. Why? Because we are his. Just like you'll never forget your mom and dad. You're never going to forget them if they're not here no more. You're going to always love your mom and dad, right? Well, now we've been adopted by him. So we're never going to forget him, and he's never going to forget us. If he was the type of God that would just throw us away like a dirty rag, then why did he save us from our sin?
Mm-hmm.
That's telling God you can't keep us. Can I get you understand what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, your blood wasn't strong enough. No.
No.
Until we get delivered from this body of flesh, we're going to struggle. We're going to have hard times. We're going to need him 24/7. And yet God will never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm speaking to those right now who are watching. Maybe you have never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you have logged on for the first or second time. And God is saying, repent. Turn to the living God. Why? Because he wants to save you. He wants to bless your life. He wants to give you something that you can't give yourself. And that's eternal life. Those of us that are here right now, we have demonstrated our love by surrendering our life to Christ. And we're here because of him. We're not here because we have to be here. We're here because we want to be here. Because we love the Lord God. And now that we're born again, our spirit hungers for God's word. We hunger to be in his presence. We want more of God. But those who don't have God, they don't desire the things that we desire because they haven't received his grace yet.
His love, His mercy, His spirit. You haven't been washed in the blood. But here's your opportunity. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And maybe, just maybe, you'll surrender and cry out to God. Hallelujah. I know it's tough. And I know it's a struggle. But come to Jesus by faith. If He's tugging on your heart, that's Him now calling you. He's probably called you since you were a child. And you shrugged it off like a fly landing on your ear. And now God is speaking to you. And so, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. And the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is He worthy? Oh, He's so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.